Welcome to the first AM Online podcast. This is Elliot Maris, editor of Automatic Merchandiser Magazine and VendingMarketWatch.com. The topic for our first AM Online podcast is business strategies for success in a recession. We have with us our three experienced vending operators from different geographical parts of the country. They are Steve Marks, CEO of Royal Vending in Maple Grove, Minnesota, which is a suburb of Minneapolis. Also, we have Jim Carbone, Vice President and Partner of Classic Vending in Chicago. Also joining us is Scott Gardino, Vice President of Marketing at Paramount Automated Food Service in Pompano Beach, Florida. What has been the impact of the economy on your business?
We're down probably as a whole about 30% same store sales, so It's definitely had an impact on us. But it's really we've run a company very lean for many years. We heavily rely on technology. It's made us become even more lean and cut costs anywhere we possibly can. And I think that it's really made us also look at a lot of our customers today with a more callous attitude, where if they weren't profitable, we certainly were not going to wait for them to become profitable because we felt that a lot of them were just not going to turn around.
Okay.
So I think that's probably what it's done for us.
And you're involved with vending and coffee service, correct, Steve?
Yes.
Is that true about coffee service as well as vending?
Well, you know, vending is more a passion. Coffee service is more of a necessity because of our market condition here. But, you know, the coffee service hasn't dropped as much. But some of the coffee accounts we do have, we've had a lot of issues on collections where they've fallen very far behind. And also some of them have wanted to, look at other options for coffee to, you know, lessen their exposure and expense on you know, whether it be a name brand like a Starbucks or whatever, to go to a lower quality coffee. We've also had some customers in recent weeks and months, surprisingly, want to get rid of office coffee and go back to a vend coffee machine.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that from other people as well. Jim, you're both vending and office coffee. What impact has the economy had on your business, if there's anything in addition to what Steve has said?
Well, if you want to look at, as Steve said, same store sales, in the majority of our accounts, yes, sales are down. Some, 25%, some negligible. Some are actually up. I mean, our largest customer is doing quite well, which is great for us. And but our business as a whole is up. And, you know, I feel that's due to us, you know, investing in the our company in technology, mostly our website as well as our sales force.
Uh-huh.
So in the Chicago market, there is a lot of business to go after. We're very fortunate that, you know, downtown Chicago is, you know, 10, 15 minutes away. So we've been concentrating a lot on growing in that market, and in that area, which leads to coffee service, which we've got a pretty neat marketing plan in place to grow our coffee service business, as well as expand the items that we do carry. So it's not just dropping off, you know, coffee, cream, and sugar. It's, you know, talking to our customers about water, as well as janitorial supplies and things like that. So, like I say, we are very fortunate, and our business is up right now.
And you've diversified, it sounds like.
Yeah, in other words, we just, you know, we've changed our name from just Classic Vending to the Classic Group, and, you know, grouping, you know, other, almost other divisions into our company, going into, you know, vending and coffee and cleaning and janitorial supplies, water, and then, you know, environmentally conscious products.
Uh-huh. And you've also added personnel?
Definitely. Oh, uh-huh. Absolutely.
Okay. All right, Scott, anything to add on any of those points in your business?
Well, I'd say on our vending side, our same-store sales in 08 dropped probably about 24%.
Uh-huh.
I see that as of February of this year, it stopped dropping. It didn't come back. It just kind of sat level from then to now.
Uh-huh.
And I have not seen any, very, very little increase, a couple of pockets here and there, but overall, none. We started a couple of years ago getting into OCS pretty heavy, just because vending just seemed like it was going to become challenged whether, you know, the recession came or not. And actually created a second company, a separate company, that operates totally, totally separate. There's maybe two or three people that I have that have a role in both. And that's gone very well. I think that that's really done extremely, extremely well.
Well, if you've created a separate company, it would stand to reason that you've had to hire people specifically to run that company?
Yes. Yes. What I did, first of all, is I took probably 8 or 9 people and moved them from one company to the other.
Okay.
So as I saw that sale, and my vending sales were decreasing, you know, I didn't want to let people go. And as you know, over the first year in a coffee, we moved 8 or 9 people over, and then I would say probably hired another like 26 or 27 people since then for that company.
Yeah. That brings another question. My understanding of the OCS market today is that customers are looking for better values in OCS. They want good service, but they want better, they want more for their money. And in a lot of markets, I'm led to believe that customers are really out there asking for more quotes from people. Have you found that to be true, Scott?
But I couldn't answer that, tell you the truth. I'm not close enough to the fire. But I will tell you that barely a day doesn't go by that some customers not calling, typically the larger ones, saying that for us to avoid doing an RFP for the service you provide us, you're going to have to agree to like a 6 or 7% reduction in your costs. So we have to then sit down and look at like all the products we sell them and agree to reduce the cost 6 or 7%, which quite often we do is move them maybe from a, you know, a 200 count sweet, you know, sugar substitute to like a 2000 count, where we're lowering their cost, but at least maintaining and sometimes increasing our gross profit margin.
Uh-huh.
That's what I find happening from my knowledge, is that they're calling us saying, you know, we want to avoid an RFP, let's agree to lower our cost. And I would say that we find a lot of people not getting out of single cup brewing systems, but not wanting to pay the rentals anymore.
Uh-huh.
And I don't, you know, so we've probably waived probably 60 or 70 rental fees from January to now, year to date.
Right. But if that's the case, if the customers are out there shopping harder for value, it's probably a good time to actually have more salespeople out there on the street, correct?
Yeah, I actually not only continue to hire, but continue to look. On my coffee side, right now I'm up to 6 salespeople. And I actually want to hire one more. And just in general, our whole coffee division, you know, inside sales, outside sales, route drivers, like I say, I would hire 3 or 4 people this week if the right people came through the door.
Uh-huh. Okay, but let me switch the subject a little bit. Steve, with operator profits being squeezed, have you been getting more requests from competitors who are interested in selling the company?
We haven't seen a lot of that yet in this market.
No.
I'm somewhat surprised. I figured that we would see some potential acquisitions. There's really nothing that I've heard on the streets of any magnitude.
Okay. Do you consider this a good time to be looking more at acquisitions?
You know, there's pros and cons to it. I would consider it a very dangerous thing to look at. I mean, you'd have to get an extremely good deal on a company right now. And you'd probably have to have, you know, some definite holdbacks in your payments to them and so forth, because the market conditions are so volatile that, you know, depending on their account mix, you know, if they're heavily with one or two or five accounts, those accounts could be gone tomorrow and you could be holding a lot of equipment, which is, you know, pretty much worthless today. So I think if the right deal came across our table, we'd certainly look at it. But again, we would do it extremely cautiously,
okay,
more so than ever.
Okay. And, Jim, what is your take on that? Are you getting any more interest from other competitors that are considering selling their business to you?
You know, honestly, I would like to say yes, but no. I mean, strangely enough, there hasn't been you know, a lot of things or a lot of companies that I've heard of looking to sell. We would look for a good deal also, and really would welcome that. We've bought, you know, a couple smaller businesses, and, you know, we always have our safety net in place. So if, you know, the revenues are down, you know, we're protected. And we've had to take advantage of that recently. But, you know, strangely enough, I haven't heard of as many companies as I would have thought.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I would think that with a lot of smaller operators out there having trouble making ends meet, that there would be, you know, more, you know, 1 to 5 route companies looking to get out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Another tactic that some people have recommended today is the fact that vending values, that is the product quality and the price, compared to other retail outlets, the vending values generally are quite competitive, say compared to a convenience store or a quick-serve restaurant, which would, if the consumer is in such a cost-saving mode as he is today, as we've been told by consumer research people, one would think that there would be more of a premium, more of a demand for the vend product. So, Jim, have you recognized that value proposition and done anything to market it to the consumer?
You know, that's really a tough one to do when you know the bottlers are your competition, and it's still very difficult. And we'll go into accounts when we are selling a new account or increasing prices, which we've had to do quite frequently, and basically make a purchase at a convenience store and bring the receipt along with us just to show the customer the value that vending has, considering that we're delivering it to them, including tax and all that. But it's definitely been a tough thing to overcome. So,
have you been able to communicate that at the point of sale?
You know, not any special way. No, I mean,
uh-huh. Okay.
I don't know how that would get done.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Scott, have you attempted to communicate comparative value at the point of sale?
Well, I have a department, you know, account management for vending. That their job is, like, I have my hunters, which is a sales department, and then my farmers, which are the people that take over the account once it's sold, 30 days after it's sold.
Uh-huh.
And then obviously the accounts that I've had for years, And, you know, their job is to go out and get price increases, and among other things. And, you know, it's very challenging for them right now. I mean, you know, if they'll go out and say to a customer, hypothetically, we want to take your snack pricing, let's say, from 90 cents to a dollar. And, you know, 2 years ago, the customer would say, oh, yeah, okay, whatever you want to do, that's fine. Today, it becomes a two-hour meeting, and then let me talk to my boss, or let me go to my HR manager and get their input, and let's do an employee survey. You know, we know where that's going.
Yeah.
And then we'll get back to you in a month from now. And
yeah. But that has to do with the communication between you and the client. I'm asking about getting the message to the consumer at the point of sale. Have you done anything to demonstrate comparative value at the point of sale?
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, we're pretty much at the end of our time allotment, but I would like to just ask, does anybody have anything further they would like to comment on at this point, out of the three of you?
No.
Any closing remarks or observations that we might want to leave with people?
You know, in Minneapolis, I can tell you that it appears, and I think this is probably pretty much around the country, that it at least seems like the bottom has hit, and we're starting in a recovery process. Most of our plants, there were several of them that did shut down for good. We're not seeing that anymore. We are starting to see a little bit of stability, and actually a little bit of increases over the last month. So I'm hoping that trend continues. That's what we're seeing, at least on our account base here in Minneapolis.
That's good to hear. I have heard that from other operators who I talk to on the regular course of a day. Scott, would you concur that we're starting to see some recovery?
I've seen nothing either way.
I've seen
nothing positive or negative.
Okay. And Jim, how about you?
You know, like I say, we're fortunate and the business is growing, but, you know, we're trying to position ourselves for when things come back. I mean, in Chicago, I don't know if I'm as positive about it being at the bottom yet, but like I say, we're trying to, you know, improve upon what's out there and get the business. So.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to thank all three of you. This is our first podcast,